Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
3 o'clock on the Fan. How we doing, Evan and Tiki? The latest on Juan Soto a little bit later on and why my confidence level of him coming to the Mets is shaking just a tad. Sean will give us his Cinco de Five at 5 o'clock as well. But I got to tell you, I'm a compassionate guy and I felt for all of you last night because I know what it's like to be laughed at. I know what it's like to be mocked and ridiculed on a national level. A couple of days ago, and I refuse to mention it on the air because I'm sick of it, but a few days ago was the anniversary of the butt fumble game.
Seeing ghosts.
And of course, yes, you've got the I See Ghost game. Both of those things were, let's be honest, it was innocuous. The Jets got their ass kicked by the New England Patriots. That's the headline. That's the story. So on Thanksgiving, when they got beat up by the Patriots, there happened to be an unfortunate play where Mark Sanchez ran into Brandon Moore's ass. It is what it is. And it became a joke, and it still is all these years later. I feel bad for Mark Sanchez. Sam Darnold, who's resurrected his career, good for him. How about the fact the Jets, again, got their ass kicked by the New England Patriots? But he happened to say, I see ghosts, it becomes a thing. And the Jets have been mocked for those two things forever. And I think unfairly. And now you guys, welcome to the party. Because last night, as I'm sitting there, we're all sitting there, we're just watching a random football game that has nothing to do with the New York Giants. This conversation occurred between Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, and all I could think about is that the New York Giants are officially the New York Jets.
And the 255 yards rushing, now it's Saquon Barkley. These are updated numbers out in front in the race for the rushing title over Derrick Henry.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one to follow as we move through the remainder of this year. And congratulations, Saquon Barkley. That was quite an effort. Fun to watch. You're having a heck of a year.
The Eagles have now won 7 straight. Here is Henry. He is stopped. And with where the officials walking in, about half yard short of a first down.
You know, if John Mara, if he had a little heartburn when Saquon Barkley left and signed with the Eagles, you can only imagine the heartburn he has watching him do what he's done.
John Mara's got to be so sick of that clip and hearing about, I'm not going to be able to sleep if he goes to Philly. Well, he's in Philly, and he looks like one of the best running backs ever to visit this planet.
And they decided to keep Daniel Jones. Now they don't have either.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
are they calling the Eagles game?
It felt that way. Like, they
was pointless.
They're exactly. You know what they did? They did what's been going on to me and my brethren for years. They went out of their way to mock you. That's what they did. This John Mara thing, it is old news. This Saquon Barkley thing is old news.
Yeah.
And now DJ's gone, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, but they need their national stage because otherwise nobody's listening to a word they say. They tweet that. Seriously, why are you putting that in a national?
Because the Giants, I'll tell you why.
Why put that in a national broadcast of a game that has nothing to do with the Eagles or the Giants?
Because people love to laugh at us as New Yorkers. Hmm. And for a while, they would only laugh at the Knicks or the Jets or the Mets. And now the Giants have sort of joined in. The Knicks are gone because there's nothing to laugh at.
I see it.
There's a little Yankee stuff, too, especially after the fifth inning of the World Series. But it's tough to laugh at the Yankees. So the Jets and the Giants are now laughed at. They are LOL Giants. Hmm. So for anyone who heard that last night and you're like, this is ridiculous, welcome to my world. All you've done is enter the Jet world because this has been our existence forever. We do embarrassing things or we make bad decisions, if you want to argue that it was a bad decision, and they laugh at us. That's what they do. The New York Giants are officially the New York Jets. Welcome.
I think right off the bat, we could officially declare and plant the flag and let this be a warning to everybody. We all loved it. Nobody should ever do off-season hard knocks again because no owner's words caught on camera have ever been used against the team more than this.
Right.
But number two, I'm kind of embarrassed for Troy Aikman a little bit.
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Tiki does games every weekend. Every one of these athletes, former athletes, who brings intelligent points to games. How could Troy Aikman sit up there knowing the game of football and not be able to correctly separate that Saquon Barkley going to the Philadelphia Eagles has been great for Saquon? It has been great for the Eagles, but that also doesn't mean that the Giants made a bad decision. No. But it's the truth, though. Anybody who understands the game knows the deal.
Put your head on my bosom, okay? I want to teach you. I want to give you a back rub. I want to teach you something.
Before you teach me something, tell me where I'm wrong.
No. It has nothing to do with being right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. Correct. LOL Giants.
Correct. But it
doesn't matter. No. Does it matter that Mark Sanchez running into an ass was a meaningless play? They were getting their butts kicked anyway. Does it matter? Or is it LOL Jets?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You're going to sit here and you're going to argue, well, you know, Troy should have looked at the salary cap.
That's not the point.
Evan, they want to laugh at you.
This is not a quarterback running into somebody's ass.
Don't do it. It's both meaningless.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a football move that should have nothing to do with the Giants.
A quarterback running into an offensive lineman's ass in a blowout game is actually less relevant than a football decision. It's actually even stupider, but it never mattered because it was always LOL Jets. And what you don't realize is you laughed along with all of them. You just chuckled too. And now
Tommy DeVito runs into John Michael Schmitz's ass on Thursday. I'm not going to be sensitive about it. I'm going to laugh. I will laugh. That's way different. It's an ass. That's always funny.
and it has a name.
Right.
And it was defined.
So, Evan is used to this as a Jet fan,
yes,
as a Net fan, as a Met fan. I'm used to this as a Knicks fan.
Yes.
We don't think Charles Barkley and Shaq are smart basketball people, of course, but they love taking shots at the Knicks, and they will always do that because of people like Sean that take the bait. Don't take the bait. Troy Aikman knows what he's doing. He's laughing at the Giants because it's funny to laugh at New Yorkers
Tommy's
and they
right.
get a reaction.
Tommy's right. Like, when Charles Barkley would say inane, stupid things about the Knicks, you have a choice. You can get caught in the weeds, which maybe you used to do at first, Tommy.
It'll piss me off because they're coming for Carl Anthony Towns. We all know that because that's part of their thing.
But
they're going to do that.
But you would argue it like, well, actually, Charles, we're...
And they're laughing to the bank.
Now he's averaging 30 plus.
Right. But it was long before Cat was even here.
Yeah,
they would make fun of the Knicks all the time. And sometimes it would be completely unwarranted.
Sometimes it would be warranted.
Stop getting into the weeds on it. You are
You need to get in the weeds. It's Troy Aikman's job.
No, Evan.
This is where you don't get it. Now I'm pissed off again about the Saquon stuff. All right? Let me talk for a second.
Whoa. Hey.
Troy Aikman is a former NFL quarterback, Super Bowl champion, game analyst. It is not his job to be Tony Kornheiser in the Monday Night Booth or Dennis Miller in the Monday Night Booth. He's supposed to be the level-headed, let me describe what's going on football-wise guy. Whatever you think about Saquon Barkley and the Eagles and the magical MVP-like season he's having, that time and place on Monday Night Football for him to act as if, at the Giants is stupid. Where he could let Joe Buck do that, Troy should have the level-headedness to be like, you know, regardless, great year for Saquon, but that still wouldn't have been the right move for the Giants, because anybody who has a brain about football knows it wasn't.
But do I have a brain?
You don't.
Loaded question, because I said the same thing last night where, or maybe even on this show, we ended up with neither. So it is ridiculous, and he is being a football analyst, because he's saying they didn't pay Saquon, they paid Daniel Jones, Saquon walked, he's the MVP, and now the Giants don't have a quarterback, they don't have a running back, and their locker room is being called soft, and they quit. So he is being an analyst. I know it sucks, believe me, I get it. It stings when they used to say stuff about the Knicks. It still stings to a little bit, but sometimes the truth hurts.
Tommy's right, man. Mm-hmm. It's not even about the argument, dude. It's about that the Giants have now entered the territory that I know you, Sean, you're not used to, because you're not a Met fan, you're not a Knicks fan, you're not a Jet fan. This is new. For me and Tommy, this is like a Tuesday.
All right, well, you guys deal with that fine, Tommy. Guess what?
What?
If the Giants didn't take Saquon second overall, they took Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, things are different. So the last 6 years, the Giants are the uncrowned champions of the NFL. Things could have been different. I feel great now, Tommy.
Somebody from Philadelphia, I don't know why they're reaching out to me about this, but someone from Philadelphia sent me like this beautiful picture.
Okay.
That's a collage of Sean Morash tweets from like the last 2 years. I'd read some of them for you. But
nice.
I'm still cracking up that the Eagles made the DeMarco Murray mistake again with Saquon Barkley. That's number one. Number two, the first day of Saquon free Giants football is so damn refreshing. Okay. Number three, the Yankees scored two touchdowns in Philly. Saquon won't even have two before he ends up missing games in Philly.
Mm-hmm. I was wrong on that.
Eagle fans, quote, watch Saquon with our offensive line. Also the Eagles, quote, we signed Nick Gates and Mekhi Becton. Still laughing my ass off how much better Malik Nabers is than Saquon Barkley.
Holy gosh!
Stand by that. Get me a quarterback.
It's a rough one, man.
Well, you know, Saquon's never on my mind. I don't know why these people are...
Clearly, he's not.
No, never. Never. You just tweet about him every 5 minutes. Look, I thought that those comments last night were unfortunate, but I want to give all my friends who are Giant fans a Giant hug. I know how you feel. It sucks. It's frustrating. It makes you angry. Mm-hmm. There's only one way to break this, and that's to win. Ask Knick fans. Just win. Shut them up by winning. You know what the Mets did this year? They won games, and they shut them up for now. But let me tell you this, once the Mets come up small, if they miss out on Juan Soto or they lose 90 games, they'll be back. Right. Once the Knicks are back in the lottery handing out bad contracts, they'll be back. So the only thing you can do, Sean, and all we can do as Jet fans, is have our teams win and we'll shut up the comics and the media. But until then, take your medicine, bro.
Yeah, because nationally there's an anti-New York bias.
Of course. 100%.
They have an agenda. They always will. So when we win, we could stick it back to them. Yeah. But when we're losing, you got to just kind of take it.
Yeah. Look, they don't care about other cities. Like, when the Braves start to struggle, yeah. No one cares about the Atlanta Braves and making jokes about them.
Right.
So we got to take our medicine, big boy.
It's Monday Night Football. I've sat there and watched crap football the day before. Can I just put on my Zubaz and Snuggy socks and not have to hear about the Giants?
Well, at least the Rangers played well for you last night.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're funny.
How about the Devils? Can the Devils get some love around here? First place Devils.
I know. They've only played 17 more games than everybody else.
Very pesky.
First, well, aren't they like 14-7, though? They're playing well.
Yeah, 15.
What was that?
15.
Oh, Tiki, I apologize. I'm sorry. Wow. 15-7.
Right. Devil horns in your backpack? Right.
You know.
He's a fan, man.
I do live in New Jersey.
Yeah. He's a fan. The Devils are the best team in the New York winter sports area.
I know you have 4 games in hand for whatever damn reason.
Well, because the Devils had to start in Europe.
That's early. All I know is there's only one first place team in the winter sports world, and that's the New Jersey Devils. Mm-hmm. The Islanders, the Rangers, the Knicks, the Nets, we're not in first place. The Devils are. Give them their due.
The Devils also have won a game at MetLife more recently than the Giants.
So is Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Let's go to Joe in Aiken, South Carolina. How are you, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, Evan Teague?
What's up, man?
No truer words have ever been said in this world than when Evan opened the show and you guys were talking about living in New York and New Jersey is the best thing in the world.
Of course.
Unfortunately, I wound up losing my 14-year career with a very large company in finance because the company went overseas. Mm. So I had no choice to move me and my family somewhere where I could buy a house outright because Jersey was so outpriced. But
sure. Right.
Yes, I love the weather down here, and I'm sick of being called a Yankee because I hate the Yankees. I'm a Mets fan. And other than that,
you should just correct people. Correct people, Joe. Yeah, you're just a Yankee. No. I'm a Met.
I do say that, Teak. I always say, I'm a Metropolitan because, the Southerners.
Right, right.
You know, they're like, why? Who the hell calls a team the Metropolitans? But anyway, I just had a question for you guys real quick.
You tell them it's synonymous for a big city. I know that's a big word down here, but.
Exactly. You're right. I had a quick question for you guys. I'm a huge Cowboys fan. And, yes, I'm from Jersey. I'm a Cowboys fan. What are the coincidences? But what do they do? Because, in my opinion, Dak's hurt. We don't have a chance in hell this year. Why aren't they letting Trey Lance, advertise him a little bit? Maybe we can get some trade value from him because he's up next year. Right. Or, something. I don't know what they're doing with Cooper Rush. I love Mike McCarthy. I think he's a great coach.
I think they believe that Trey Lance is limited because you saw him a little bit, actually not a little bit, you saw him a lot in the preseason. He played a lot of those games, and he was just a turnover machine. Like the understanding of how to place the ball and make the right decisions, it's just not there for them. So honestly, I think they've just given up on him, to be honest with you. And right now, at 3-7 going into last week, now they're 4-7 because they beat the Commanders, they're still trying to win. Right, they're still trying to put themselves in position to, save jobs. In this case, probably Mike McCarthy is the most prominent one, but the rest of the team is also going to get kind of blown up if they fail, if they falter, if they're like the Giants or the right. Jets and they finish 5-12, like everybody's going to be moved off.
Right.
Like we know that there is an urgency from this owner to win a championship, and so as crazy as it sounds, Cooper Rush gives you the best chance to win right now. Right now.
Yeah, but once they get to that magic number, maybe one more loss.
Well, I think it's 9.
Right.
So they have 2 more losses to go.
You think even? Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess it would be
8 wins. They could. I mean.
Right now, their playoff percentages are the same as the Jets. Right. It's about 1%.
Right, and so if they're at 8 losses, is there a shot? Yeah, outside shot. Because look at Tampa; they're still kind of in it. They're 5-6,
yeah,
which is only a game above the
Cowboys.
But
that's also because of the division. So Dallas only route is the wild card, which makes things a little bit more complicated.
Okay, so the wild card, the last wild card, is 6-5, which is. 2 games in front of where they are right now.
Arizona right now at 6-5. Yeah, I get the point, though. Like, once they are out of it, because I understand what you're saying. They're still technically in it, kind of like the Jets are still technically in it. But once you're out of it, you gave up something for Trey Lance. Don't you want to evaluate what you have in them?
Right.
Don't you want to see what you got?
I lied. The last playoff right now is actually Washington.
Oh, you're right. It's 7-5. Arizona's not. They're out of the playoffs right now. The 3 wild card teams are Minnesota 9-2, Green Bay 8-3. Because remember, the Lions are 10-1 and lead the division.
Right. And then
the Commanders at 7-5. So it's a lot. It's a long shot.
Right.
But point taken. Once you're still in. We talked about this with the Giants and the Jets. When you're still technically in it, you want to put out there the guys that give you the best chance to win.
Yes.
That I understand.
And if you get to 9 losses, it's over.
Yes. Patrick is calling from Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just want to make a quick Jet point and Giant point. So it's amazing to me how people still want to reach for Aaron Rodgers when, like, the last year in Green Bay, he was horrible. I mean, just basic. And they said he was hurt. And somehow they wanted to throw Russell Wilson out with the bathwater so quick and say he was washed so soon. And they didn't give him a chance, even though he had 25 touchdowns and 8 interceptions last year. And
The eye test didn't. It wasn't anything good. I know what you're saying about Russell Wilson, and he's landed in the right spot for him because it's more like what he was doing in Seattle at the beginning of his career. He's not being asked to be, you know, the hero and throw 45 times a game. Like Arthur Smith has that offense like perfectly oiled. And obviously, they have a great defense as well. So it's a good spot for him to be in. But I get your point. Your overall point is right.
No, but you're making a good point in the sense that Russell Wilson got humbled a little bit, and he's actually going into that system.
No doubt.
Aaron Rodgers, he brought all his cronies with him, and he still want, and that's the way he wants to play. And now you're going to tell me a new coach, hopefully if he's a veteran coach, maybe a veteran coach would do it, but like a first-time coach is going to tell Aaron Rodgers, this is the way I want you to play?
Yes, because if the answer is no, then you're gone. I think it's about honesty right now if you're the Jets. And the honest conversation is, we're going to hire a new GM, we're going to hire a new head coach, and based on their recommendation, and if they want you back, that's how we're going to decide it. And
I think the challenge, and what the last caller was getting at, is that Aaron Rodgers, no matter how you feel about his play right now, or over the last 2 or 3 years, it's still Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
So if you hire a young coach, there's just a level of reverence that that coach is going to have for Aaron Rodgers. And does that mean he's influenced by him? I don't know. Depends on the personality or the strong-mindedness of whoever you hire as head coach. There's going to be an Aaron Rodgers influence. Now, if you hire a veteran coach who's done it a certain way, especially if it's an offensive coach, this is my way, this is what I'm doing, and like, I understand I'll take your input, but this isn't your ship. This isn't your ship. This is us, right? So this is what I want to do. I think that's a different scenario. So I think that, like, the experience of whoever they bring in as head coach is going to have a deciding factor on the input that Aaron Rodgers is going to have in the system.
Well, I think if Aaron Rodgers wants more input than whatever the coach is offering, then it's not going to work. You're gone. I think it's very simple. I think the days of kowtowing to Aaron Rodgers are done.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you're a young head coach, that's harder to do than say.
Well, then if that's the case, then you're going to eliminate it before you ever talk to him about it. You're going to say it's not going to work.
Right.
I don't think, if I had to guess right now on November 26th, that the Jets are going to hire a first-time head coach. I don't think that they are. I think they're going to hire somebody with experience.
Right, that wouldn't make sense.
To hire someone who's a first-time head coach?
Right.
Well, they've done it a lot.
I know.
I mean, if you look at the Jets' recent history, since the departure of Bill Parcells, that's basically all they do,
right,
is hire first-time head coaches. And some have worked to varying degrees, and some have been failures. In fact, the only non-first-time head coach they brought in was Adam Gase.
I can't take it.
We all hated before they even hired him. It was like, why are you doing this? This is a grave mistake. More of your calls next, 888-808-1019. And for my Jet fans and Giant fans who think the only thing left to root for is losses so that you could tank, there is something else on the line besides draft position over the final 6 weeks of the NFL season, and I think we'd all agree that we want this to happen for both teams. I'll explain what it is, plus more of your calls. My confidence level in signing Juan Soto is diminishing. We'll explain it coming up at 4 o'clock. Plus, Dexter Lawrence and Malik Nabers have changed their tone a little bit as they meet the media on this Tuesday. We'll play you those clips in the next few minutes. But a little piece of information that you can share with your family at Thanksgiving. Okay, a little tiny piece that you probably didn't know, but something that's going to make your uncle impressed and say, wow, I had no idea that's the case. So obviously the Jets and the Giants are very unlikely to make the postseason. Okay, we know that. That's obvious. So what's on the line besides pride? You obviously have the draft pick conversation. There is something else on the line, which I think is pretty cool.
Go ahead.
Next year, we already know the Jets and Giants opponents are, like, for example, the Jets are playing the teams in their division. They're also playing the AFC North, and they're playing the NFC North. The other part of your schedule is you play the two teams in your conference that finished in the same place as you standings-wise. But we have a 17th game. Do you know who the Giants and Jets would play in their 17th game? I'm going to tell you. The division. So the Jets will play the NFC East. The Giants will play the AFC West. They will play the team that finishes in the same place as them. So let me just tell you the deal. If the Jets and the Giants both finished in last place, we get a bonus Jet-Giant game next year instead of waiting the customary every 4 years.
Right.
If the Jets and Giants both finish in fourth or third, obviously there's still a possibility of that. But let's be honest, the likeliest scenario is the Giants are not catching Dallas. They're finishing in last place. The Jets right now are right there with New England.
Right.
If the Jets and the Giants both finish in fourth, the New York Jets versus the New York Giants bonus edition.
I love this.
Do you like it?
I love it, but I'm going to ask for one favor from the NFL.
Go ahead.
Is Sean Moore ask a lot of favor?
Go ahead. You're allowed anything, Sean.
All right. We all work here, WFAN Sports Talk Radio Industry. Don't play this game in October. Please. We had enough football diversion in October with
That's
baseball. In fact, I'll make a deal with you right now as a Jet fan, Evan. I'll make a deal. A little handshake agreement.
Go ahead.
If the NFL will allow. Can these two teams play on opening day? So we guarantee.
I was going to say week one or two.
One of these teams starts the year 1-0.
I kind of like that, actually.
Good idea.
Win or go home match.
Right.
And how about
we will guarantee one of our teams gets off to a good start.
And how about we Monday night it or something like that? Make it
I don't think a prime time game. I'm not going to punish the country.
Win or go home.
You know what? I don't want to punish the country. At second thought, yes, make it the open. Exactly. Aikman can go and sit through the mess now.
That would be great. I do agree with you.
You want to talk bad about us nationally? Hey, all right. Well, you got us nationally.
That's right.
How about that?
I will find myself in the last few weeks rooting for us to finish in that same standing so that we can have this game. You know, Jets-Giants are special. It's once every 4 years. This is a chance for a bonus edition of Jets-Giants.
I love it.
So put that in the back of everybody's heads. As we're watching bad football, there is something on the line. And there's also a decent chance Tiki's going to call the game again.
I know.
And Jet home game, so Evan, little cash?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm going. If it's Jets-Giants,
if it's early in the year, you have to go.
Oh, I think no matter what, I would go to that game. The only thing that would possibly hinder that is if there's a Met playoff game going on at the same time, but I feel comfortable.
Wait, do you know whose home game it would be?
It would be a Jet home game. He's right. Yeah, they know where that extra game would be, and it would be a Jet home game. I'm going to that game. I think the real question is, who am I taking? Now, obviously, Tiki's broadcasting, so he's out.
Right. I mean, they're in that specific booth or another one across the country.
Right. So do I take someone as obnoxious as Sean? Do I take Loogie, who was a positive Jet fan for a brief amount of time?
No, Loogie lost his privileges. He told you on Halloween night he'd take your tickets and go to Jets Texans as positive
point.
Tommy, and he completely bailed
good
and
point.
Screwed you with the tickets.
That's true.
Were you serious? You weren't serious, were you?
I was serious. He refused the tickets. He said on air yes, And then off air, he's like, I can't really go. I don't want to go. Too much traffic.
And over the last month, Evan, you and I have shared World Series games together, Nets-Grizzlies games together. I think I earned my keep.
All right. I think that's a fair point. Sean, I will take you to Jets-Giants at MetLife Stadium.
Let's go.
Just me and you in my season tickets.
I love it. I'm in. Let's go.
Wow. I also
no resistance at all from Tommy.
Nah, Tommy Six. He doesn't want to go. I don't think he likes going to games.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell.
Is that fair, Tom? Is
I don't. I don't love going to football games for sure unless they're standalone. So if it's like the Black Friday game, which I wouldn't be shocked if it was, I would do that. If it's a Monday night game, we do the show beforehand. I would hang out after. But like a Sunday at 1 o'clock, I have
Who
zero.
Who's the
interest.
Black Friday game this year?
Raiders Chiefs against Raiders. The Chiefs.
Oh,
yeah. Well, it's just it's something. Right. I mean, well, yes, we get to see the Chiefs.
Well, Minshew's out. Yeah. Dan O'Connell.
Yeah. Maybe Daniel Jones. No, I think the Raiders have already been ruled out because Jordan Schultz, who is a reporter, like, isn't he like friends with Daniel Jones?
Yeah.
That's what I keep hearing. Yes. Like their BFFs.
They hang out together, yeah.
Really? Okay. So he told us, by way of Daniel Jones, that yes. the Raiders are no longer an option.
Yes.
That's because Daniel Jones is going to Baltimore. I don't know why people just don't listen to us.
Right.
Why
hasn't he been saying it for a week?
I know. He's going to Baltimore.
Well, because they played last night. That's why he delayed and took a day. Yesterday, after he cleared waivers at 4.
Out of respect to Josh Johnson? Give him a little bit of time?
Out of respect to the fact that they were putting on their uniforms
so when
he cleared waivers.
So when does DJ make the visit to Baltimore official? Tomorrow? Does he wait till like a Thanksgiving news dump Wednesday night?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be.
That's what it sounds
it's
like.
It's going to be a Thanksgiving news dump.
Hey, you hear Daniel Jones? I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I'm about to go eat some food.
Right.
We'll get to what Dexter Lawrence and Malik Nabers had to say as they met the media. They basically did a complete 180 from their comments on Sunday. But let's go to Justin and Dobbs Ferry on the Fan. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on? Tiki, what do you think about week 17, Philly Eagles and Saquon? What are the Mara going to do when Saquon breaks this season rushing record?
The NFL record for rushing yards in a season.
By the way, just to give, here's how it could happen. So Saquon Barkley is at 1,392 yards, which leads the league. He has 6 games left this season.
And he's averaging over 100 games, 100 yards a game.
He's averaging 126 yards per game.
Man, that's a lot.
So if he, let's put him down to 120. Let's say he's down a little bit and he averages 120 yards over 6 games. That would get him to 720 yards, which would get him, he's at 1392. Mm-hmm. So a 720 plus 1392 gets him to 2,112 yards. The all-time record. For most rushing yards in a season, do you know what it is?
Isn't it Derrick Henry? 2000.
No, no, in a season.
That's what I mean. Derrick Henry has it, right?
No. It's actually not. It's not Derrick Henry. It's I had it right in front of me.
Was it Jamal Lewis or Chris Johnson? I don't know why those names popped up for me.
In a season.
Or is it all the way back to like I don't know?
Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, that's,
Eric Dickerson
remember,
is at 2,105. Saquon's pace has him at 2,112. So his pace has him right at setting the record. Now, in fairness...
Yeah, this was 16 games versus
17. There's going to be a little bit of an asterisk next to it.
Right.
Because of the fact that there are more games now.
Right.
So I know that's...
Yeah, but he could also have 2 more 200-yard games.
That's true. He could break the record in 16 games.
Yeah.
Or even if he doesn't, and he breaks it in 17 games... Too bad. Like, think about it.
Doesn't matter. I mean, it
doesn't matter. It's the record.
It's so far and above. Right, last year's leaders were they are right now. Last year's rushing leader, I think was under 1,400 yards. I can't remember what it was now.
That's crazy.
And so him and Derrick Henry are right running with each other. You know, the two free agents, two biggest running back free agents this year, went to two teams that were already good, but in need of an extra oomph.
Right.
And they got it.
Right.
Both of them.
Incredible.
It really is.
So
man.
He's on pace to break the record, and he certainly has a chance to do it. And yes, it would add to the angst of John Mara and some Giant fans if he does it against the New York Giants.
Yeah, and there's a legitimate chance he's going to win the MVP, especially if Lamar Jackson falters at some point down the stretch. Because right now, the 1 and 2 is Lamar Jackson and Saquon Barkley.
I completely agree with that. But here's the thing that will make kind of the debate in Philadelphia, maybe even over here, we may have the debate too.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. What if the Eagles have everything wrapped up?
Yeah.
And Saquon is 107 yards away from the record.
Because that's not going to happen to Baltimore. They're not going to pull the, put the brakes on because they're half a game behind The Steelers.
Well, I don't even mean in regards
to beat them.
Yeah, I don't even mean in regards to the MVP chase. I mean in regards to chasing Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing record.
Well, like, I'm thinking you're talking about the Eagles. Like, they've wrapped the division up. They're locked into wherever they're going to be playoff-wise.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen for Baltimore.
No, but I'm saying, forget the Baltimore Ravens. I'm thinking about it in terms of breaking the all-time rushing record, the MVP.
Absolutely, let him do it.
You let him do it?
100%.
Even with the risk of injury?
I'm just saying. Injury is going to happen if injury is going to happen. You're either going to get hurt or you're not. Period. Yeah. Saquon's built to withstand this season, it feels like, this year. Because he's been nothing but getting stronger. It's something we haven't seen in recent years.
He's been unbelievable, but there will be a caution in how far do we push him to break a record when we need to have him ready for the wild card round or the divisional round, wherever they've advanced.
Right. Well, currently they're tied for the second best record in the NFL.
Yeah, they're right there. They got a chance to catch Detroit.
Sirianni's going to shove it down the Giants' throat. That's his personality. Saquon's going to go for 150.
Well, he may want to shove it down the throat, but I'm talking about in terms of making sure he's healthy for the following week.
Yeah, but
if they have to play the following week.
Yeah, in the last two games, I mean, who knows where the Cowboys and the Giants are those last 2 weeks of the season.
Right.
Look where the Giants are now.
Yeah, but
and another 7 weeks.
But
is anybody on defense going to want to tackle anybody?
Look at where the Eagles were last year. So the Eagles had a playoff spot wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
They were 11-5, and they took the foot off the gas against the Giants.
That's it.
Because they were trying to get ready for the postseason. So
that's the perfect ending for the Giants.
What?
Let Saquon Barkley play, even though the Eagles are locked up, and give the Giants the first overall pick. Like, that is the perfect gift. Okay,
right.
if he's going to be an Eagle, let him pound us into the ground
I honestly don't think that he'll play. If it's all wrapped up.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think he will either.
I don't think he'll play.
I think he'll kind of askew the record.
If it's 60 yards, he'll do it.
It's different because you could pull that one off.
Right. If it's 180 yards,
yeah,
that's a grind.
Yeah.
Like, you're going into the game saying, all right, I'm grinding to get this.
All I'll say for the Giant fans out there, or for the spirit of that phone call, which is, how will John Mara feel if this is the case? Thank God it's in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that was at MetLife Stadium, that would have been cruel.
Right.
If week 18, his return game was breaking the single season rushing record, I mean, that would almost be unfair. So luckily, it being in Philadelphia is a lot easier. I had a friend of mine text me. I don't even know if this is true. He said that Sean is claiming he's going to Philly for the game.
I'd like to. If it means we're going to lock up the first pick, I'd love to.
Is that true? A buddy of mine just texted me that and said, you're planning on going to Philly for week 18?
I would love to go for week 18. It's the only time I can't get beat up by Eagle fans because I might be with them.
Well, you'd go to Philly to root for the Eagles?
I won't openly root. I'll go there in a blue Giants Barkley jersey. I'll sit there quietly. And then
that's cute. He goes there with a Barkley jersey.
And I can sit there and not root or anything. And then at the end of the day, walk out and go, thank you. Now we're your daddy for the next 10 years with Sanders Award.
You ever see Road to Perdition, Sean? You walk out that door, you walk out alone. Don't expect me to go.
You almost got
Tiki killed last time he went to Philadelphia.
Coming.
We're not going with you, pal.
That's your battle. You're coming. Infinity Live, the whole deal, Lugie.
Sean, I would have had a very different answer to you 1 year ago, but I'm a more experienced man.
Oh, here we go.
I went to a Mets-Phillies playoff game.
Hold on. Well,
And I went with my 8-year-old, and I went with my wife. And after that experience, what I would tell you, Sean, because I do love you.
Uh-huh.
I do.
Yeah.
I love you, Sean.
Are you looking for me to say it back?
No, you don't have to say it back. I'm telling you, I feel good about
it. Now I feel like I have to say it back.
No, you don't have to. Do you want to say it back?
I love you too, Evan.
Thank you, Sean. I cannot let you go to Philadelphia for that game.
So
I can't do it.
Come with.
No, I'm not going with.
Well, bring your son too.
No,
you can't do that.
No way.
Can't do that.
I am going to give you some friendly advice. Do not go to Philadelphia for week 18 Giants-Eagles in any kind of Giants jersey. I don't care if it says Barkley or not.
I'm going to paint my face blue, wear the sunglasses, the whole thing.
Oh, my God, he's going to be dead.
You walk out alone. You walk out that door.
We're going to hear a story, that's for sure. Let's go to Jimmy in Saratoga. How are you, Jimmy?
Good. How are you guys? I was just calling about the Jets situation with Aaron Rodgers and being a bridge quarterback. I think the best bridge option right now could be Sam Darnold at the end of the year. What do you guys think about that?
The reason I don't think it's a good option is I think Sam's going to get paid, Tiki.
Mm-hmm. I agree. He's worked his way. He's making $10 million this year. And so he's worked his way probably into it's probably just short of what Baker's making. So a little under 30, mm-hmm. something like that, around $30 million a year, which sounds like a lot of money, but it's actually cheap for a starting quarterback. So the question is going to be, who's desperate enough to give him starting money? and not draft. So it's going to be a bad team that's not in draft position. That's the team that's going to sign, meaning draft position of the top two guys.
Right.
That's who's going to sign Sam Darnold. And it could be anybody. Who knows who that
is? It could be anybody.
Right.
But or it could just be simply a coach that believes in him, that says,
yeah.
Like maybe Brian Daboll does. I have no idea. Maybe Daboll's like, I love Sam. Mm-hmm. No, let's bring him in.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to be signing one of those one-year deals. Like Tyrod Taylor signed a very reasonable two-year contract with the Jets. I think he's due to make about, off the top of my head, I'd say about $8.5 million next year. Very reasonable number for a backup quarterback. You already have a guy like that under contract.
Yeah.
And you're not getting Sam Darnold for that.
Right. I think a lot of it will depend on what happens to a team like the Rams. Like, if the Rams fall apart and Matt Stafford's, it's not there anymore, they could be one of those teams. Because they're good, but they're not good enough.
Yeah.
But they're not also bad. So they just need a younger quarterback. But there's not a ton of those teams, though.
Yeah, you know, I would put this scenario out on Sam.
New Orleans, maybe?
Maybe. I give you this Jet scenario on Sam Darnold. The guy I want to have as the head coach of this team, the guy I've already full-throttled endorsed, is Brian Flores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Brian works on the other side of the ball, but is it possible that Brian Flores comes here and part of his vision is, I can win with Sam. I like Sam.
Yeah.
I want Sam to be my guy, not as a bridge, but that's my quarterback for the next couple of years.
And he's still young.
And he's still reasonably young. So I don't think he's a bridge guy. I think he's the guy if you believe in him.
Yeah. He's what Baker Mayfield became for the Buccaneers.
Absolutely. And what do we say about Baker now?
Yeah.
When he's not doing the Tommy DeVito dance inside the Giant end zone because he's mocking you all. Now, speaking of the Giants, after the game on Sunday, besides the horrible performance, besides the way it looked, one of the things that came out of that game was some of the words that were used after the game. A lot of players called them soft, the performance very soft, including Dexter Lawrence, who I know Sean was very critical of when he did his podcast, One Giant Step. Kind of blamed Dexter Lawrence for the tone he had around Daniel Jones and all of that. But he was one of the guys after the game that said, hey, we were very soft in the way we played.
Right.
Today he met the media and listened to his, I guess,
re-explanation
and refocus of his soft comments.
Well, about the soft thing, I think you guys need to be held accountable for how you put it out there. I didn't say we are soft as a team. I think I said we played that way. We lost 30-7. That's not okay. We're in the NFL. So for y'all to put the message out that way is not okay as well and should be held accountable for that. But I think, like I said, we came out today with good energy. We came out today, embracing this moment that we have, and that we get to go play on Thanksgiving. So we're excited about that.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I did not get the impression that the media twisted his words. I think they were explained pretty accurately, which is we played softly. Like SNY, we'll be on SNY in 10 minutes. Their headline was Dexter Lawrence extremely angry about Giants soft play in 6th straight loss. I think that's very accurate to what Dexter said, so right. I don't know what he's lecturing the media about.
Yeah, I think it's because it gets twisted. Anytime you say something like that, it's going to get twisted in some capacity to say we're a soft team or certain players are soft. And then you start questioning, well, who's he talking about? Right? Is he talking about guys on this side of the ball? Is he talking about the other side of the ball? Who are they talking about?
Right.
And that's when it becomes dicey.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, after that game and he said those words, what did every one of these writers go with? Dable and Shane are out. The locker room's lost. Their leader's calling them soft. So I think that's what he's referring to. It's one thing to say they jumped three steps with that, and that's all the articles were Monday. So I actually appreciate Dex. You know, I kind of wasn't happy with his Daniel Jones stuff last week, but this is stepping up and going, I said what I said.
Right.
But
I didn't say that the locker room hates Dave's.
Right, and we're soft as a result of the head coach. We played soft, we lost 30-7.
I kind of disagree, though, because I thought what he said was, we played soft, which is accurate, and then people took them playing softly as an indictment of the head coach. Fair or not, by the way. It's not even re-arguing that.
Yeah.
It's that I don't think his comments were misconstrued. He said they played softly.
Yes.
He didn't say the whole team's been soft forever.
But
no, I don't think anyone took it that way.
But
they
again,
played softly.
Again, this goes back to, because I even took it this way, and I'm guilty of this too. Dexter Lawrence had a week long of comments. His comments about Daniel Jones, I wasn't the only one that brought it up. Dable got hammered in his post-game press conference about everything that Dexter Lawrence was saying. And I think that Dexter Lawrence was using that soft moment more so to address the whole week of comments he made and where the media, I think, took it a step too far.
I don't know if this is an accurate description, Tiki, but I'll tell you what I love about what Dexter did, even if I disagree with him, because I can disagree with his words.
Right.
But here's what I love about his overall vision of what he did. I think he turned the attention and turned kind of the blame game to the media. Mm-hmm. Right or wrong, it doesn't even matter to me.
Right.
He turned it away from we played soft to, hey, you sons of bees.
Stop calling us soft.
Stop. Right. I think that's brilliant.
Right.
And I think the coach may have played a role in it. And here's my evidence that that was the case. Malik Nabers, after the game, was very critical. He also said the team played softly and was very critical about, you know, not getting the ball until they were down 30 to nothing. Here's what Malik Nabers had to say today. Again, I think a very different tone from Malik.
Yeah, after watching the film, I wish I would have used different words to describe the game afterwards. I don't think it was really soft. I think it was just a lack of technique. You know, we was playing our butts off. We just lacked technique. There are a lot of things that just wasn't us as offense. At practice, you know, we had great days at practice. Got into the game, just didn't do the things that we did at practice. So when you don't go out and do the things that you do at practice, you know, you come out a little short in the game.
That's a very different tone. Yeah. I think the coach was able to get to his young star wide receiver and his lead captain and say, all right, guys, I'm taking the locker room back. You're going to go out there and you're going to say the right things. I think that's a very good sign that you may be right, that Sunday's game may be a hiccup in losing the locker room. Now, it'll all be proven by the play on Thursday, but I think that was a... That was a very different tone coming out of Nabers and Dexter Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the coach.
Of course it is. I think Coach Dabes reached out to those guys and said, look, this is what actually was going on. So I know what you said. It said an emotion, and it's hard. It's not hard. It's easy to get caught up in emotional moments after getting your butts kicked the way that you did.
Mm.
Let's walk these back. And that's exactly what they did. So, who do you believe now?
Well, here's the way I look at it.
That's the question.
For now, I would say, okay, touche. Mm-hmm. Touche, Coach Dable. Touche. You got your guy saying all the right things.
By the way, that tells you that he hasn't lost the locker room.
That is a sign that he's not lost the locker room. That's a point for him. With that said, now they got to go out and kick ass on Thursday.
Right.
That's all fine and dandy.
No, they don't.
With a focused week.
Yeah.
Well, they just have to play better.
They've got
to
play better.
Not kick ass.
What do you mean not kick ass? You don't want them to kick ass?
If I want them to, but you're saying they have to. They can win 9-6 and just look better.
If we are judging them on the bar of that looked like a team that quit, which was my tone to you on Monday, then yes, they just have to go out there and care, and it would change the perception that the coach lost the locker room.
Right. Right.
What a bar we now have.
Well, I mean, it's just the reality of a team that's had a lot of turmoil over the last 10 days.
Right.
And look, they have good players. They're not fully good yet. And so you just got to play well. And good thing, give yourself a chance.
Don't miss.
The challenge is they haven't given themselves a chance in a lot of these games.
Don't miss a million tackles.
Yes.
Don't play like this ugly, it kind of appears like you don't care game.
Yeah.
I think that this is a nice sign that maybe the locker room hasn't been completely lost, because the head coach clearly got to these two guys and said, clean up what you said Sunday. And they cleaned it up. You don't have to believe it. Right. I don't believe. I'm always a benefit of the doubt guy. I believe it, but you're going to prove it to all of us on Thursday at 4:30. That's the bottom line.
Right.
And we can sit here all day.
Which is hard because it's a short week.
I get it's hard, but you got to go out there, and if kick-ass isn't the right term, you better play your asses off.
Right.
Because if it's another example of what we saw Sunday, then these words mean nothing on a Tuesday.
How about instead of kick-ass, don't get ass-kicked?
Mm. Boy, I tell you, that's the slogan of the 2024 Giants.
It might have to be, dude.
Don't get your ass kicked.
You don't have to win. Just don't get ass kicked.
Right.
Don't be embarrassed. Don't create a meme on Thanksgiving that we have to live with for the next 10 years.
I am so worried about somebody running into an ass.
You should be worried. More of your calls coming up.